8:39. It's a Monday, the 17th of September. And it's now been 1,008, I guess. So we can put it to that, since December 13, 2015, that the Browns won on a Sunday against the 49ers. They play again Thursday, so it's a quick turnaround. Scott Petrek, you got a busy week ahead of you here, joining us this morning from the CT and BrownZone.com. Good morning, Scott. Appreciate it.
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much. As you write in the line of the story from the CT, the Browns lost again Sunday. It wasn't nearly that simple. I almost thought there was going to be another tie, just the way things were going near the end of there. I guess the defense still with takeaways. Offense seems to be able to kind of bring us back into a game. But our special teams kind of let us down yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, the kicker missed four kicks, you know, and he missed four in a row in the second half. And when that happens and you're on the road, you know it's going to be a tight game. The Saints are a good team, went to the playoffs last year, high expectations this year. You know, you're not going to get it done when your kicker misses four kicks. And, you know, I guess bad teams find a way to lose. But when it's the kicker that lets you down, it feels different, at least to me. Because I think the rest of the team, the other, you know, if you take the punter and the long snapper out of it, you know, the other 49 guys in that locker room feel like they did enough to win the ballgame. And it's frustrating. I think you can be encouraged to some degree for a team coming off 1-15 and 0-16. But Hugh Jackson, the coach, is desperate for a win. And it's 2 weeks in a row to start the season where they had multiple chances, multiple good chances, and they couldn't get it done. So that puts a lot of focus and pressure on Thursday night, and it leaves a bitter taste in their mouths.
Sometimes our standard of what we look at as being good or possible, you know, if you look at what we went through last year, not being, you know, if we were down by a touchdown or two, we thought, well, the game is over because we couldn't. This year it seems like we can actually, you know, compete on that level. But when you're not getting the 1 point, 3 points, it shows the importance of the kicker. You know, they get the little points here and there, but you realize that that adds up. That's why kickers are sometimes the guys who have the most points ever scored on teams, because they're the ones that actually put you over to the win.
Well, right, and, you know, the week before, in that opener, he gets a kick blocked in overtime, you know, at the end of overtime that would have won the game. And, you know, I didn't think that was a great kick. There was a lot of, penetration by the Steelers, but I thought it was a low kick. You know, he disagreed with that statement. But especially with that role, if you're a coach and a general manager, that's the one position on a team where you can say, you know what, he cost us the game. I don't trust him. I'm going to get a new guy in here. You can't do that at many other positions, but you can a kicker. And I'd be stunned if the Browns don't have a new kicker Thursday night. And you're right, especially when your team, you know, the Browns aren't right now, and probably with Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback, are never going to be a high-powered, shoot-em-up, score 40 points a game offense. And if you're scoring five touchdowns a game, you can miss a field goal every now and then. But when, especially yesterday, when the game plan was ball control and conservative, and let's play a low-scoring game, because that's how the only way we're going to beat the Saints and Drew Brees and their big-time offense, then you have to take advantage of every opportunity to score points, and your kicker just kept giving them away.
Who would think on Monday after the Browns game with what happened with Josh Gordon over the weekend, the story would be all about the kicker?
Right. Well, that's interesting because, you know, you go into the game, and obviously everybody's thinking about Josh Gordon and talking about Josh Gordon. But then you play a football game, and that's what people focus on for the 3 hours of the game, you know. And you knew another story was going to come up. The only way it was going to be all about Josh Gordon was if the receivers were awful or Antonio Callaway, who took over for him, dropped the game winner in the end zone or something like that. Instead, Antonio Callaway has what would have been the biggest play of the game on the 47-yard touchdown with a minute and 16 seconds left to tie the game at 18 before Gonzalez has missed extra point, which would have given him the lead. And then the attention turned back to Josh. We get to the locker room, we're talking to guys, and It'll be on Josh again today because the Browns are going to try to trade him. John Dorsey, the GM, announced he was going to release him Monday. He doesn't have to release him today. If they're still talking to teams about a trade and the 4 o'clock, the roster moves need to be made by 4 o'clock transactions, so if you're going to cut him, it has to be by 4. If he doesn't have a trade done, he can wait and make the move Tuesday. Or Wednesday. There's no hard deadline here. And it looks like he's going to be able to trade Josh Gordon rather than release him. But that's such a huge moment for this organization just because of what it's been through with Josh for the last 6 years and the talent he has and the potential he has, that the story's not going to go away just because Josh Gordon didn't play yesterday or won't be here after the next couple of days.
It's a short week. What do they do? As he said, we have a short time to lick our wounds, get ready to go, get a game plan against the Jets. What are we looking for when the Jets come to town on Thursday?
It really does speed up. You know, the coaching staff has already worked on their initial game or film study of the Jets. They started doing that at the end of last week because you can't wait until you get home Sunday night. I believe the team will watch some film today. They might not even watch the film of the Saints because they got to go ahead and get started on the Jets. They'll have a practice Tuesday. They'll do a walkthrough / easy practice Wednesday, and then they play Thursday night. So it's a lot about recovery, from a physical standpoint. You got to get your body ready to play in 4 days instead of 7 days, and that's such a quick turnaround for these guys. If you're going to play a Thursday night game, you'd rather have it this early in the season, right? You only have the wear and tear of 2 games, so that does help. But it's a huge game because this is the first time this year the Browns will be favored to win. Since the schedules come out, you expect them to lose to Pittsburgh, you expect them to lose to the Saints, and then you expected them to be the Jets because the Jets weren't a good team last year. They have a rookie quarterback starting in Sam Darnold. This is an opportunity at home for the Browns to show that, yes, they've made that jump, and that jump counts in wins. So it's a big game. It's a big pressure game for Hugh Jackson. It's a big pressure game for quarterback Tyrod Taylor, who rebounded nicely yesterday, not only from the opener, but then from the late interception he threw against the Saints. But the improvement and the progress we've seen through 2 games, 2 close games, a tie and a loss, needs to show up in a win, and the perfect opportunity is Thursday. So there's going to be a lot of focus and pressure and attention on this game.
Defense had 2 more takeaways. Is that going to be their MO for the season? I mean, does that seem to be going for the ball every time, getting the ball, stripping it, recovering it?
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously they were trying to do the same thing last year, right? Same coaching staff, and they weren't able to. The difference is they have better players this year. And with better players and that mindset, that's the goal. And, I was talking to guys in the locker room last week, and one of them said, it's contagious. It's like sacks. They seem to come in bunches. Turnovers feel the same way. So I think you'll see them have games with multiple turnovers. And you can't count on that every week. But that is the goal. Teams do that. Teams have big turnover seasons. And I think this defense has that mindset and that philosophy. And that's how they need to play, because this offense needs help. The defense, I don't think, is quite good enough to be a shutdown, we're not going to let you move the ball type of defense. So you compensate for that by turning the ball over and getting takeaways. And I think they have enough talent up front to sack the quarterback and strip the quarterback, and I think they have enough ball hawks in the back end secondary to do the same. So if they're going to win games, I think that's one of the critical ingredients.
What's happening within the locker room, they turned over the roster quite a bit, so there's folks that have been through that 0-16. There's ones that are sort of now catching on to sometimes what happens at a Browns game. How is that affecting them or making them prepare for the next game?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Jarvis Landry is one of the new guys that traded for him in March and signed into a big long-term contract extension. And he kept talking about how he wasn't part of 0-16. He's new team, all that stuff. And yesterday, after another loss and another heartbreaking loss, he was asked about, some teams, winning teams find a way to win. He goes, the Browns always find a way to lose. And I think his response was something like, you said it best. And you got asked if he was snake bit, and he was kind of like, yeah, and then, you know, answered, however, but, you know, we're working to improve, yada, yada. And I guess my point is, and the bottom line is, it doesn't take long for her that losing to not change him, but for him to understand what this franchise and what his teammates have been through, you know? And now the mindset has to be, let's change that as soon as possible. You can't accept that as your fate. And I finally believe the talent is here to not let that happen, to not accept that, to not lose week in and week out. But you have to go and do it. And, like, again, that's why this week is so critical, because this is a week they should, a game they should win and can win. And until you finally do it, until you make those plays that win a game and finish a game, it's same old, same old.
Interesting week in the NFL. You got a player at halftime decides, I want to retire at halftime. That took place. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City throwing touchdowns left and right. So, you know, it's an odd game. Who knows what's going to happen on a Sunday for sure.
Yeah, there's always something going on. When I saw that, I didn't read. I just saw the headline about Vontae Davis retiring at halftime. And that's what I thought, is what a crazy league, you know. And I think part of it's just the nature of the game. Part of it's the action. Part of it's the attrition of all the injuries. And then, you know, another part of it is you put 1,500 guys with different personalities in this environment, and you're going to get interesting stuff that happens. And you don't see that ever, right, when a guy retires. And even something like the Josh Gordon saga, the drama of Saturday and the unexpectedness of the Browns deciding they were done with him. I think that's what makes the NFL riveting for fans.
Well, we saw a little bit of that when we were watching the Hard Knocks, how you can make a great storyline out of different things. And, of course, all the social media that takes place, it's no longer just sort of a headline reported by you put into a newspaper or, you know, on a radio broadcast. It's now their own sort of, you know, production that they can put their two spins on it, I guess.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's just so much that goes into the NFL. And, you know, the popularity of it just breeds more and more and more. And it's become really a 365-day-a-year industry. And that's what it strives to be. And that's why it's so popular. And that's why the ratings continue to be so much higher than other sports.
Well, the entire focus of the country will be Thursday night, on a Thursday night game against the Jets. First Energy Stadium. It'll be interesting to see how it all turns out. But we'll talk again next Monday. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.